Throughout the show today, we're trying to give you a sense of what life is like at St James's Palace, which is home to several members of the royal family and their household offices and staff. And no self-respecting royal family or Russian oligarch would be without my next guest, and that is a butler. And last week, I went along to Blenheim Palace to talk to Grant Harold, who used to work as a royal butler at St James's Palace and now runs the Royal School of Butlers in Oxfordshire. And Grant is going to give me some pointers about royal etiquette so I don't let myself down at the palace. And he's right next to me. Morning, Grant.
Good morning, Richard.
Now, what an amazing place to live. Who lives here now?
It's home of the 12th Duke of Marlborough and his family.
And I bet he didn't get it on Homes Under the Hammer. How did he get it?
No, he didn't. He inherited it, which is quite sad, obviously. He inherited it from his father about a year and a half ago.
How did it become a Marlborough house?
It's been a palace for about over 300 years, and it was the first Duke of Marlborough who fought a battle at Blenheim, and as his reward he was gifted this palace, which I don't think it was completed actually before he sadly died, so he didn't actually see it finished.
So it was a kind of do-it-upper.
Well, I suppose you could say that. It was a bit of that.
What's the biggest butlering mistake you've made? You know, something like giving the Earl of Bedford the wrong snail fork or something like that?
I think one of the biggest mistakes I probably would have made was when I was looking after a guest, and part of my duties is packing and unpacking suitcases, and I was packing up this suitcase for this lady, and I managed to pack the actual bedspread in with the rest of the clothes, and I didn't think anything of it because I just assumed it was that she had brought it with her. The way it was folded in the bed, it looked like...
Oh,
it was,
you thought she wanted to take it?
So I put it in her case, and I think it was a couple of days later when Lady Tavistock actually mentioned to me that it'd be greatly appreciated if I didn't keep packing up the bedspreads, which is, you know, it was very embarrassing. She saw the funny side of it, but I was mortified that I'd gone and given something away to somebody. But
I like the way that in 19 years, that's the worst mistake you've made.
Yes, definitely. I would say that was my faux pas of the last almost 20 years.
Yours is a Royal School of Butlers. Does that actually mean you're sanctioned by the royal family?
Basically, we work with the royal. There's a royal princess who is a niece of the Queen. She teamed up with myself just over about 2 years ago, and we started developing these butler courses, and we started training royal butlers as they're kind of trained to her kind of standard, and then she obviously issues a certificate at the end of the course.
Who were you working for at St James's?
I worked for Prince of Wales, Dutch Cornwall, and occasionally for Princes William and Harry as well.
And what were your duties?
The duties of a butler is very much the same across all royal homes or any home. It can be from laying tables to looking after the individuals to answering the telephones, looking after the guests, almost acting as a host sometimes for the host themselves, because obviously royals and aristocracy can be quite busy, and you sometimes need somebody to kind of step into their shoes and look after their guests, and that's a very important part of a butler's duty.
What makes a good butler?
Well, for me, it's important for loyalty, discretion, positive attitude. And to be able to get, you must be determined to get a job done. You can't kind of go into something half-hearted. If you start something, you have to see it through. But I think the loyalty and discretion are really important, and they're important to employers as well.
During your time as a member of the royal household, you must have met the Queen. What's the Queen like?
She's lovely. She's got a fantastic sense of humour. I was very lucky, obviously, to meet her on many an occasion. But the very first time I met her, I was actually introduced to her by the Prince of Wales. And that was quite one of those surreal moments where you've got the Prince of Wales introducing you to the Queen.
Can you remember any of the conversations you had?
Yes, there's a couple of conversations. In fact, one of the funniest was when she realised that, I think she knew, but she hadn't really put two and two together when she worked out that my brother also worked for her. So I was working for the Prince of Wales, and my brother, we were at this event, and my brother was with the Queen, and she was walking down this receiving line, and my brother said, "Oh, this is my brother." And she said, "Oh, of course, your brother's." And it was like the pin dropped, and it was quite a funny moment.
Do you find it hard to stop being a butler, you know, when you get home?
Yes. I'm terrible for that. In fact, when I'm butlering, which I don't do much of now, I kind of more the training's what I kind of tend to do. But when I was butlering, it was almost as if I never stopped. Even when I'm at home, I'd still be relaying fires, I'd be plumping cushions, I'd be making sure that the guests were looked after. And I'm still like that. Even to this day, people will come to my home and I'll be making sure that they're looked after the same way they would be looked after at Blenheim Palace.
And who has butlers nowadays?
all sorts of people. You have the aristocracy who very much thankfully still have the butlers and the staff, obviously the royal family, and then you have the kind of, I'll say new money, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It is people that have come into money, or that have, could it be lottery winners, it could be Europeans that are coming into the country, and they want the Britishness. So, and part of that's to have your butler.
What does a top butler earn?
Again, it depends where you go. It depends who you work for.
Top butler.
I would say that if you went to work, let's say you went to work for an Arabian prince or somewhere in Saudi Arabia or something, you could be potentially looking at, I don't know, 80,000, 90,000.
Shut the front door. Seriously?
Yes.
That much money?
Yeah. You can, but don't forget, you're working 7 days a week, almost 24 hours a day. You don't have any kind of life. You might get some time off. If you're prepared to do that, then there's no reason why you won't get paid that, and you're probably quite happy at the end of doing it for a couple of years. You could probably go off and set up your own little bed and breakfast or something.